Can you believe it? Can you build your faith on it? The promises of God's word are sure. They do not fail. This book has stood the test of time. Tonight, our subject is entitled Living Water. Living Water. The Bible says that when you and I come to Christ, that we become streams of living water. Then out of us flows a river of living water. And tonight, Michael Harris is going to sing for us that beautiful song, There Is a River. There is a river.
Supply. There
Gracious Father, tonight, we're thankful that the water of life is given to us as a river that never will run dry. Lord, help us this evening to drink and to drink deeply of the water of life. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are open, minds that are clear, that we may accept your word. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Once a year, the Jewish people made their way from all over Israel. They're coming up to Jerusalem, and they're coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's also referred to in Scripture as the Feast of Booths. And so from every little village and hamlet all across Israel, little groups are making their way towards Jerusalem. This is a very festive time because the climate at this time of the year is just about ideal. And they're going to come to Jerusalem. Everybody is going to move out of their house. And they're going to, in the backyard or out in the vacant field, maybe even up on top of the house, they're going to build a little tabernacle or a little booth, and they're going to move into this tabernacle, and they're going to live in it for a week. It's to remind them of the 40 years that their forefathers spent in the wilderness. This is a very, very special time because they can visit with relatives and friends and just have a good time visiting. But every morning, they make their way up the mountainside to the temple. And there in the courtyard of the temple, they worship God and they sing songs and they spend time there praising the Lord and reading the scripture together. And then during the day, they visit with friends and family. But when they come down to the last day of this feast, early that morning, they all gather there in the courtyard of the temple. And a couple priests take two large jugs and set them on their shoulder. And then those priests begin to march around the courtyard, and the other priests begin to file in behind them, and then the people begin to march with them, and they march around the courtyard as they sing psalms and as they play musical instruments, and they march around the courtyard, and then outside the temple gate, down through the streets of Jerusalem, outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem, and down the hillside till they come to a brook called Kidron. And there those two priests now take those two large jugs and they dip them into the brook and fill them with water, place them on their shoulder, and they begin to make their way back up the hillside, singing songs and repeating scripture together until they've arrived in the courtyard again. Now one of those priests takes one of those jugs of water, another priest takes a jug of wine, and they make their way up the stairway of the altar of sacrifice. And they walk right out to the very front of it. And there in the front of it is a large funnel. And they begin to pour water and wine into that funnel. Just at that moment, while they're pouring the water and the wine into that funnel, someone out in the crowd of people begin to shout. And you find his words recorded in the book of John. John the 7th chapter in verse 37, and it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. If you can just imagine, here that whole courtyard is just crowded with people, and Jesus is shouting out across that whole crowd, if anybody's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Marvelous promise that he gives to you and me. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So it says that out of you and me will flow rivers of living water. Marvelous promise that God gives to each one of us. Jesus and his disciples, they have left Israel. They've gone over into Samaria. They're approaching a city by the name of Sychar. Jesus has sent the disciples into town to buy something to eat. And he has gone over and had a seat beside Jacob's well. A woman of Samaria from the city of Sychar has come to the well to draw water. As she approaches the well, she sees Jesus sitting there, but she doesn't pay any attention to him. You see, Jesus is a Jew and she's a Samaritan. And the scripture puts it very politely. It says that they had no dealings. That's what the scripture says. You want me to tell you how it was? Well, if you were a Jew and you were eating, and a Samaritan walked by and his shadow fell on your food, you turned the plate upside down. So she didn't expect Jesus to speak to her, but Jesus knew that in the Middle East there's a request that you cannot refuse. Doesn't make any difference how much you dislike the person, how much they might be your enemy. You cannot refuse a request for a drink of water. And so Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And she couldn't understand this. She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water?" And Jesus said, "If you knew who was asking, you would have asked of him and he would have given you." Listen. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water." Oh, he said, if you just knew that, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. It's a promise. Over and over in this book, God gives you and I an invitation to come and to drink. And to drink of the water of life, and it says that out of us will flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 55:1, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat." Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So it says, come to the waters. What is that going to do for you? Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Totally free, dear friends. There's no other way tonight that you can get it. It's free. You understand what I mean? It's free. You see, money can't buy it. Wisdom can't impart it. Impossible. Merit will not procure it. The only way you can receive it is by what? Do you know? The only way you can get it is by accepting it. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. It is given to you totally and completely free. It's given on the basis of grace. And God offers to you and says, come to me and I will give you the water of life. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. This woman, she couldn't understand this. She couldn't understand it. She said, "You don't have a rope. You don't have anything to draw with. What do you mean you would give me water of life?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Oh, I find so many people today that are trying to drink of the water of this life and find satisfaction. Flying on the plane the other day, picked up a magazine and was thumbing through the magazine, and here was a full page ad in the magazine, and it said, "Find happiness, lay linoleum." Is that the way you find happiness? Lay linoleum? We get the idea that satisfaction in life can be found in these things. I have people say, oh, Brother Cox, if I just had a better job, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. That isn't what produces happiness. I have people say, well, if I just made more money, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. That isn't what produces happiness. An individual say, well, if my spouse just loved me, I'd be happy. No, you won't. That isn't what makes happiness. He that drinks of this water shall thirst again. You see, that's what happens. The waters of this life, dear friends, only take place when the showers come. When the shower comes, the pond overflows. But you let the heat of hard times come, and that water goes dry. It's only the well that has water in winter and summer. See, he that drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Listen, Jesus promises it and says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, he just says, if you come to me, the water that I will give you will come in you. And dear friends, please understand, it doesn't say it will be from you. It doesn't say it will be around you. It doesn't say it will be about you. It says it will be in you, springing up unto everlasting life. You see, when you and I drink water, it goes into our system. It goes into our blood. It becomes part of our blood. It infuses every cell of our body. So when I come to Christ and I drink of the water of life, it becomes part of me. It infuses every part of our body. You see, folks, I don't hear music. I don't feel music. And that's just not part of my being. It's just not there. You could give me music lessons for 10 years and I still wouldn't ever feel it or anything. It's just not part of me. When I was in school, I had to take a class called conducting. I was in college. And I will never forget, the teacher had a girl sit down at the piano and she had her play a piece, and she said, when she got through, she said, tell me, what time was that played in? I said, you've got to be crazy. What are you talking about? I don't know what time that was played in. It's just not in my being. But let me tell you something. These people like Donna Klein, Myrna Haynes, Adrian Winney, Michael Harris, it's part of them. They feel it. It's in their inmost being. That's what I'm talking about. This is what Christ is talking about. When you drink of the water of life, it becomes part of you. It's in your inmost being. And dear friends, if it is not, then it is totally external religion. You see, music, I'm sorry, will always be external with me. Because it's just not in me. God didn't give that to me. But, dear friend, he did give me the water of life. And he gives to each one of you the water of life. And tonight, if it is not that to you tonight, then your religion is external. And you're missing the joy that's there. You're missing what it's all about. When I grew up as a boy, we had a phrase that we said. We talked about people putting on their Sunday go-to-meeting hats. You know what I'm talking about? Put on their Sunday go-to-meeting hats and they go to church. See? But it's all external. Because when Sunday was passed, well, then they put on their work hat. There was no difference, you see. They changed. They didn't. It wasn't internal. It wasn't part of their being. That's what I'm talking about tonight. And that's what Christ is talking about. In the book of Jeremiah, he talks about this very thing. It says here in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, "For my people have committed what? Two evils." Let's see what those two evils are. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So he said one thing, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. You see, I talk to people who go to church, who keep people who claim to be Christians, and they say to me, "Oh, Brother Cox, I'm so busy. I'm so busy, I don't have time to pray." Let me tell you something. If you're so busy you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. Okay? If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. I don't care what you do. I don't care what your work is. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're an elder or a deacon in the church. If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. It's absolutely necessary if you are going to understand what Jesus Christ will do in your life, you must take time to pray. I have people say, "Well, Brother Cox, I don't have time to read God's Word." You have time to eat, don't you? I don't see any of you starving to death out there. If you have time to eat, then, dear friends, you need to take time to eat spiritually. You put it in your schedule. You see, I'm one of these individuals that I cannot do something on a haphazard basis. I've got to know exactly what I'm going to do when it comes to God's Word. I've got to know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I've got to know what I'm going to do the next day. I've got to know what my devotional life is the end of the year. So before next year starts, I will plan that whole thing out, and I will know exactly what I'm going to read. I will know exactly, because I am going to eat. I'm going to feast on God's Word every day. And if you want your spiritual experience to grow, you've got to spend some time in the Word of God. If you are not praying, if you are not spending time in the Word of God, then, dear friend, your religion is external. You understanding me? That is external religion. And that's what he's talking about here. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." But he goes on, talks about it. Jesus makes some comparisons to it here in Matthew 13, 22. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word." Okay, the person hears the word. "And the cares of this world," what is that? What's the cares of this world? Well, the cares of this world are clothing and food. That's what cares of this world are. Okay, shelter. Those are all cares of this world. "The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the..." What chokes the word? Huh? What chokes the word? Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, that's what chokes the word of God. And dear friends, I hope tonight that you're not letting those things keep you from spending time in the Word of God. I can assure you, I can tell you right now, you're much better off if you spend time with the Lord. Much better off. And he becomes what? Unfruitful. So, dear friends, take time. The Bible speaks about these people whose their religion is totally external. And it makes some comparisons of them, like in Jude here. Jude 1, verse 12, it says, "They are clouds without water, carried about by every wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled out by the roots." I don't know, here in Chicago, do you have clouds without water? You ever have that? California, we have clouds without water. You know, get up in the morning, hear some great big beautiful clouds, and sun comes out, and they just all kind of dry up and disappear. Clouds without water, says that's the way you and I are if you're not spending time in God's Word, if you're not spending time in prayer. It says, for you shall be as the terebinth tree, that's a tree, whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. You know what a garden's like without water? Boy, Oklahoma, what was it, the last of March, 1st of April, that we planted the garden, plowed the ground, planted the garden. April rains came. The garden began to come up. It's vibrant. It's green. It's growing. And usually by, in May sometime, we're eating some things from the garden. It still is. The rains, and it's nice and green, and we're eating from it. End of May, June, the garden is really bearing now, all of it. But we hit July, and you can begin to see around the edges of the garden a little bit of brown. August comes, there is no rain. No rain in August, and the old garden just dries up. Is that way your Christian experience is? Huh? Like a garden without water? Dry? Dry as the hills of Gilboa? That's what he's talking about. That's external religion. That's what I'm talking about. It's when I don't spend time with the Lord. He says that these people, they hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns that hold no water. Jesus talked about these type of people in his day. Listen, woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, you'll understand what I mean. Whitewashed tombs. They have tombs there, they whitewash them and all. Whitewashed tombs, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. You see, if you're going to church, but you don't have any joy in your heart, if you're going to church out of habit, if you're going to church just because it's tradition, and your relationship with Jesus Christ is totally lacking, then, dear friend, you're like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is what Jesus is talking about. You see, this is why he said that they are cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water, because they don't take any time to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about one of the Pharisees. He told the story about this Pharisee who went down to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this, see over on the side there was a poor tax collector. He may not have been poor, he may have been rich tax collector, I don't know. But he was over there, and this Pharisee said, sure glad I'm not like him. I fast twice every week. I give tithes of all that I possess. If any of you here tonight think for one moment what you give makes you righteous, then, dear friend, your religion is external. Sorry. Sorry. said, I'm not glad I'm not like this tax collector. But that tax collector, it says, just beat on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says that he went down to his home justified. You see, I'll never forget, I was speaking to a room full of fifth graders. And I was trying to explain to them the grace of Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ does for them. And how that it was a gift that Jesus gave, and how they all they had to do was just reach out and accept it and accept Jesus into their heart and all that he would do for them. And this little fifth grade boy raised his hand. And he said, are you trying to tell me that all this stuff my parents have been telling me I've got to do is not true? You talk about a loaded question. And I said, well, I don't know what your parents have been telling you, but I'm telling you that the only people that are going to be saved is those that qualify. And he got a downcast look on his face, and he said to me, okay, what do I have to do to qualify? And I said, the only people that qualify are sinners. And he smiled and he said, I qualify. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight, dear friend. You see, it's the grace of God that must come in and fill your heart. It's the grace of God that must work in your life. And only as it takes place that way will anything happen. The children of Israel couldn't understand this. It was external. Watch. Romans 9:31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. What were they pursuing? They were pursuing the law of righteousness. And as a result, what? They weren't finding it. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They said, oh, if I do this, this, and this, I'm going to make it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Let me tell you right now, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you've missed it. You can pursue the works of the law all day long, but if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's what it takes. For they stumble at the stumbling stone. Who was the stumbling stone? Jesus Christ. Now let me talk to you just a little bit about internal religion. We've talked about external. Let's talk about internal. What takes place? What happens? And being found in him, not having my own righteousness. I don't have any, folks. I don't have any. The Bible makes that very clear. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Don't have any. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith. What? Faith in Christ. Yes, that's the way it comes. Faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. You see, I reach out and I claim Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Oh, then something begins to happen, begins to take place. Eternal, internal religion takes place by faith. That's the way you get it, folks, is by faith. Let me tell you something. Quit living lives that are inefficient. Quit living weak lives. What do I mean? Faith. Faith requires that you have something in your hand that's bigger than you can accomplish. Move out in faith and do something for God. Take him at his word. If his word says, this is what I want you to do, then step out in faith and say, okay, Lord, I can do that. Not of my strength, not what I can do, but what you can do in my life. That's faith. If you don't do it that way, you're like a garden without water. But if you do it by faith, this is what internal religion will do for you. Instead of being a garden without water, it says the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. You see, the well of water has water during drought, okay? Satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Never fail, never will, because that's what the Lord does for you and for me. Internal religion must be a work of the heart. That's where it has to be. It is not external. It has to be a work of the heart. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. See, that's internal. And so tonight, I guess what I'm trying to tell you, if you've been going to church all these years, and it's been boring to you, and you go to church and you kind of have to make yourself go, well then, dear friend, the problem is you don't know Jesus. Sorry. You don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, he changes that. Jesus Christ is the one that puts joy in your heart. He puts a spring in your step. He makes the sky bluer, makes the birds sing sweeter. And then if you don't know him, then your religion will never be joyous, will never be happy. You go and you come back home and it hasn't done anything for you. That's all external. It has to be a work of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. That's what it is. When I do that, whole things begin to change. My life begins to change. I begin to find a life that I've never known before. And so to you tonight, I just say, take time. Take time to get acquainted with Jesus Christ. Don't get so busy that you can't spend time with him. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. You see, if you're keeping God's law because you think you have to, that's drudgery. You know, that's total drudgery if you're keeping the law of God because you think you have to. I talk to people and they say, well, I keep the commandments. I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, bless your heart, you may, but you may be miserable. Okay? I don't keep the commandments of God. I do not keep the commandments of God to be saved. I keep them because I am saved. Okay? Keep them because I am saved. That's a total different situation. You see, God says to each one of you here tonight, come to me, and I will make you. I will make you priest. I will make you kings. He promises that he will do that for you. That is his work. If you come to him, he says he will take his law and he will write it on your heart. Oh, if he writes it on my heart, then, dear friend, that's an internal experience, and I'll gladly keep his law. Gladly keep it. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. Going to do what? Put a new spirit within you. I'm talking about the water of life. He puts that new spirit in you. And take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I'll give them a heart of flesh. Oh, dear friend, when Jesus comes into your life and does that, what a difference. What a difference. It changes you, makes you totally different. And they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Why? Why are they going to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments, his judgments, and do them? Why are they going to do this? Huh? Because he wrote it on their hearts. Came in and he wrote it down in their heart. And because it's in your heart, you're going to do it. That's what the scripture is simply telling you. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Better believe, they're his people. Keeping the law of God is the fruit. It's the fruit of an inward experience. Are you with me? It's the fruit of it. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And so to many of you here who have been watching by television, or you've been coming here to the meeting, and maybe you've been struggling over some of the things you've been hearing, dear friend, let me tell you, the answer to that comes in surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. That's where the answer comes. You see, if you try to face it on your own, and if you try to reason out all the reasons why it won't work, it won't work. But if you come in faith and surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, marvelous will be the results of what he'll do in your life. For he says, I delight to do thy, delight in thy law of God according to the inward man. Says, I delight to do, I delight to keep the law of God. You see, when I first became a Christian, I had trouble with that. Because I'd pick up my Bible and I'd read it. And you know, it's something strange about the Bible. It says the same thing every time you read it. You ever notice that? I'd read this text and man, it just hit me hard. I mean, just hit me right between the eyes. And so I'd go read some other place, you know. I'd read there, and then later I'd be reading again, and there it was again. It said the same thing again, you know. And I said, listen, Lord, listen, I love you, but I don't like some of these things that it says. You know? But it wasn't until I understood that it wasn't what I had to do, it was what Jesus did, that all of a sudden it began to do something for me. All of a sudden I began to understand that he was saying, listen, open up your heart, accept me by faith, surrender your life to me, and I'll change you and make you different. And the law of God was no longer offensive to me. I could say, Lord, write it on my heart. Go ahead. Put it there. And when I did that, changed the whole thing. You see, if the law of God is to you this way, we'll take a look at what is external and what's internal. If it's written on stone, like with me, it was written here on these pages, and I read it, and I said, I don't like it. See, that was totally external. It grated. It went against what I wanted to do. But when I surrendered my heart, gave my life to the Lord and surrendered my heart, and he wrote it on my heart, it was no longer offensive. That's internal. You with me? You see, if circumcision is strictly external, that's all it is. That's all it is with you. But if it's circumcision of the heart, that's internal. If your religion is legalism, you understand what I mean by legalism? And I understand, I run on to people who don't understand legalism. Legalism is when I want to do my own thing. I want to act like I want to. I want to do what it might be a good. I might go to church and do all that. But if it's what I want to do, that's legalism. Okay? Righteousness by faith is when I simply say, here, Lord, I don't have one thing in this world to recommend myself to you except my great need. Come into my heart. Take possession of my life. I'm yours. That's internal religion. Or the Bible says the letter kills, the spirit gives life. See, I can keep, folks, listen to me. I can keep the Ten Commandments by willpower. I can do that. I can just, you know, say I'm not going to do this and have strong willpower. I run on to some of these people. Man, they have willpowers like you I have never seen in my life. Just nobody can live with them, you know. But I can keep the Ten Commandments by willpower. Okay? But let me tell you something. You cannot keep the spirit of the law by willpower. You can't do that. You can keep the letter of the law by willpower, but you can't keep the spirit of the law by willpower. But if you keep the spirit of the law, you'll keep the letter of the law. Okay, come and go together. Old covenant, works. That's the old covenant. New covenant, faith. Internal, external. Works of man, works of grace. That's the difference. You see, give me a man or a woman who does not base their experience upon the preacher. Give me a man or a woman who do not gather inspiration from a warm-hearted friend or from a large meeting, but give me a man or a woman who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and know Him personally, and that man or woman will stand if every preacher dies. See, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for somebody that's willing to come to know Him in a close experience. If you do that, dear friend, then you're talking about religion. Then you're talking about the water of life. Then you're talking about what Jesus Christ will do in your life. What will it do to you? Let me explain what it will do to you. This is out of Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. You may have read it, never known what it was talking about. Watch what it says. And He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. Now, that text is just simply saying that Ezekiel got there to the front door of the church, and here water was seeping out under the threshold. That's what it says. The angel takes Ezekiel for a walk around the church. Okay? He brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. So it just simply says he took him for a walk around the church, 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. Now, they'd gotten back to the front of the church, and here water was ankle deep, like tonight. If we would have come here and water was seeping out under the front door out there, we would have said that's a catastrophe. See? Well, here it is now. It's flowing out. Now it's ankle deep. They take another walk around the church. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came to my knees. You see, the water's rising. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. They came up to my waist. It's getting deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. What's he talking about? He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ, and you open up your heart, and you invite him into your heart, the Bible says you become a spring of living water. When Jesus comes into your heart, and by the way, dear friends, when you drink, okay? You got to drink. Let me tell you a little secret tonight. If your cup is only half full, you don't have anything to share with anybody. But when you drink, and you drink until your cup runs over, then you can't help yourself. That's what this text is talking about. You come to Jesus Christ, and you drink. The water, swim in. Lots of water. It's a river flowing. And out of you will flow streams of living water. And when that religion is internal, and it flows out of you, then you're going to say something to that neighbor next door. And you're going to say something to that loved one. And you're going to say something to that person about what Jesus means to you and the wonderful experience that you have in Christ Jesus and all the joy and the happiness that he brings to your heart. And as you witness to them, you're going to find other people going to say, man, I'd love to have what that person's got. I'd love to have that. And you're going to find men and women reaching out to accept Jesus Christ. And when they accept Jesus Christ, do you know what just happened? The stream just rose. See? And then the two of them, they bring people to Christ, and the stream rises again until it's ankle deep, and then it's knee deep, and then it's waist deep, and then it's a river. That's what God has called every one of you here tonight to do. That's what he's asked us to do. Become rivers of life. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. See, tonight, God's inviting you to take of the water of life. Oh, dear friend, I hope it won't be an external experience with you. I hope tonight you'll open up your heart, let Jesus in, that you will accept him like the woman at the well. Reach out, accept the water of life.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy.
First question tonight says, I want to accept Christ's gift of the water of life. It's a gift, friend. It's free. You can't buy it. All you can do is accept it tonight. If you would like to accept Christ's gift of the water of life, put a check by number one. Second question says, I'd like to be baptized. Baptism by water has great symbolism, folks. Because as you open up your heart to Him and you're baptized, means all those sins have been washed away. To come out of the baptistry clean, nothing to your account. God has given you the water of life that you may drink and never thirst again. Marvelous. Thirdly, I'd like to rededicate my life to drinking deeply of the water of life. Tonight, if there's some of you here who have accepted Christ, but the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches have been suffering, choking, suffocating the Word of God. Tonight you'd like to say, listen, I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then put a check by number 3. Put your name, put your address on it. It's Maddie Sings.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till
bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love, for the hope that we have in Christ. Tonight, Lord, we ask that you would give to us the living water.
To obtain a copy of this program or for more information, please write to Kenneth Cox Ministries, Post Office Box 1027, Loma Linda, California 92354. Again, Kenneth Cox Ministries, Post Office Box 1027, Loma Linda, California 92354. In North America, you can call toll-free at 888-747-1844 or internationally call 909-790-2770.